Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
This is episode 98 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Good evening.
Yay. I had my birthday and Jessica just gave me a present, which is the, what'd you say, what?
It's Rifle Paper Company did an edition of Anne of Green Gables.
Which I love. And mine is falling apart, so yeah. It's excellent. And
it's very much pretty appreciated. Little book, so.
It's beautiful.
You're welcome.
So I'll just, segue into the birthday thank yous, because I got a ton of messages on Ravelry, and I just want to say thank you, and I got some patterns, accessory patterns, which I had just been, looking at and thinking, I should knit that. So I already have, yarn picked out for all of them.
Oh, cool.
It's excellent. So thank you, everybody. So
people did some good knit stocking.
Yes.
To figure out what to get you. That's good.
Yes.
Awesome. So... do we have anything else on the announcement side of things?
Yes, I got a message from a listener, Elena, and her name is Flying Muse, and she has a podcast, and she was asking me to give it a listen, and I did, and I like it. It's great.
All right.
There are only 9 episodes right now, mm-hmm. and I just listened to the last two. They're all about an hour. And she has very similar segments to us. Ah. She also has one that has cooking.
Oh.
And then, at the end, it's just, random stuff. She's talking about, what was it called? Closet architecture or something? Defining personal style. And that was really interesting.
Hmm.
It's Colette Patterns did, a focus... I don't know. Listen to it. It's okay. At the end of her episode 9. But about, focusing on, how to build your wardrobe
mm-hmm.
and sewing specific, mm-hmm. but also how to, make your own personal style. Make it more apparent. So I thought that was really interesting. It's something I've been thinking about because I've been sewing more.
Yeah.
Lots of pretty dresses. And I'm like, okay, maybe I should do some separates now.
Yeah.
Just to...
Cool.
So, I recommend it. And excellent. She's early in, so... And I think she said she'd been podcasting since the spring sometime, so, mm-hmm. Not super frequent, but the sound quality was really good, and I liked her segments, because they're similar to ours, and I enjoy hearing what other people are listening to and reading. And I think she's a professional musician of some sort, so... Recommended.
Very good.
And then we'll talk about Cardi Party.
Yes.
So exciting.
Which is all you, because I have not knit a cardigan yet.
But I have we have three prizes. That's going to be the prizes for it. So we have the custom fit pattern mm-hmm. Donated by Amy Herzog. And then Helen Stewart is going to be donating her new Knit Vent ebook.
Oh,
that is not even out yet.
Ooh,
it'll be brand new at the end of November when this is all wrapping up.
Cool.
And then last weekend at the Fiber Gallery was a Hazelknits trunk show, and Wendy brought her new worsted weight base Cadence,
mm-hmm.
and I picked up a skein and the color Crescent, and I put a picture up.
I bought a sweater's worth of Crescent in the artisan.
Yeah, I was this is such a
twinsies thing.
So, but I got it because I was like, this is the perfect greeny blue color that we're always talking about.
It is.
It's right here.
It is a perfect greeny blue. It is really good.
It's so pretty.
It's beautiful.
So it's a brand new base, and it's 100% superwash wool, and it's 200 yards.
Yeah.
So you can do hat or cowl or mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff with it. It's really good yardage, and it's so pretty.
Yeah. It's gorgeous stuff.
So
that's good.
Those are the prizes.
Excellent.
Have them all hammered
out
now.
And I see people are just finishing cardigans left and right, so good on all of you. Mm-hmm. I am still on a hat jag, so...
You gotta roll with
it. But, yes, but I will be starting my cardigan. We're recording Tuesday, and on Friday morning, I leave for the Fiber Gallery's retreat down to Oregon to Imperial Stock Ranch. And I'm super excited about it, but I saved my custom fit for that because...
very solid knitting
yes.
time.
Yes. And very, straightforward. Mm-hmm. you don't have to think too hard about any of it. So I'm just going to finally get started on that. Although I went to put all my supplies together And I can't find the needle I swatch with. Like, I know what size I use, but I can't find the actual needle. Mm. So I've got, like, another one, and I'm like, ooh, I hope this matches. And then I didn't want to have to, like, do a whole other swatch to compare to my other swatch, so.
And then re-input.
Yeah, everything. I think I'll sanity check it after doing a little bit of knitting and see how it goes. But it was so annoying. It was like, I thought I had everything together, and I just couldn't find it. And I gathered all my needles. Couldn't find it. Mm. I'm sure I'll find it like 6 months
from
now.
I bet you'll be like, oh, I'll put this away just for that sweater, and then you'll find
it. I have no idea what I did. Mm. I'm sure it got caught in some big sweep up of like, quick, I've got to clear all this stuff up, and threw it somewhere, and then anyway. But it's annoying.
What yarn are you using?
I'm using Dicentra Moonbeam, which is a Paul Worth silk blend. So I think it's probably the same base as Luminous from Since Your Sheep.
Oh yeah, that's a nice,
but not yarn. Nature dyed. And I'm going to do like a deep V cardi, with stripes.
So, cool.
Yeah. And now I finally get started. I've been planning this for ages, but I've been totally distracted by hats. Do you want to talk about your knit in?
Sure. I am currently, like right now,
as we speak.
Yes. Working on the second button band of the Elephant cardigan. It's the baby cardigan by Pamela Wynn. Flint Knits.
Who's this for?
I know several people having babies. So right, it's for one of them.
It's a secret.
It's for one of them.
All right. And
it's a $6 Ravelry download, and it's a bottom up baby cardigan. With a circular yoke that has little elephants and color work. And I just used, baby cashmere merino because I had, like, a couple balls of a main color, which I ran out and had to get more.
Oh.
it's an okay match. Mm-hmm. It's not super bad. Because someone gave it to me, I think it was Amanda. The gray color.
Yeah.
And then I had the blue and the orange and the green. And actually looking at the green, I could have chosen a different color. Because it's a little bit similar in value to the gray. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fine.
Yeah, no, it's cute.
So I'm knitting the 3 to 6 month size. Although this looks bigger than that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't gauge swatch. Shh. Because it's a baby cardigan.
Why?
And babies grow.
Bother with a baby. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No problem.
So this will probably get done tonight, actually.
Excellent.
And then it's knit flat, even the color work part. Mm-hmm. And if I was smart, I would have cast on a steek and just knit the whole shebang in the round. Because now I have a ton of ends to weave in.
Yes. Slippery ends, too.
Yeah,
with
but
the super wash.
Baby cashmere merino. But it's up to you. I don't know. You can try knitting it flat. You could cast on a steek and do it in the round, which people have done in their notes on Ravelry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cute, though, and it. The sizing goes from 3 months to 24 months, so it's a good one.
Yeah.
It was really fun because it's, like, just stockinette up until the yoke, and then and it's bottom up, so it's
just
all like, wee!
My favorite kind of knitting.
Yep.
Just totally brainless until the very end, and then you have to think for just a little while.
And then I was like, oh, this counts for Cardi Party because it's a baby.
Yay! So does that bring your Cardi Party total up to 3 now?
Yes, it does.
Gosh!
Because last time I finished the Pretty Me.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. I'm also working on Trillion by Martina Beam and Tosh Merino Light in the Robin Red Breast color. And that is my commute knitting. So, I get a lot of that done.
Yeah.
Which is good because it's just mostly garter stitch.
Right.
With just a little yarn over lace. Knit two together, like meshy lace. On the edge, and that is for my bestie who lives in Indiana for Christmas. She doesn't listen, so whatever.
Oh. Then I won't say hi to Nikki.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I Skype with her a lot, so
yeah.
Whatever. I swatched for Wee Wildflower, which is an Alana Dacos pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the Coastal Kids collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I went yarn shopping with Audrey. That's fun. And she wanted pink. So the pink she liked was Cascade 220 Superwash.
Oh, excellent.
Bubblegum.
Oh,
it's right there on
like
top.
The berry. Oh, yeah, the berry pink.
Yeah. So I swatched, and of course, I didn't get 28 stitches over 4 inches because it's a much bigger yarn.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm measured everything out and did all the math, and I'm going to knit the third size instead of the sixth size.
Oh, okay.
And that'll give me the correct cast on numbers.
And then just knit the lengths that you need for the bigger size.
Yes. So I, like, plugged in my row gauge and, like, figured it all out. Mm-hmm. So I'm just finishing this up, and then I'm going to start that.
Excellent.
The green and pink cardigan that Amy made for her daughter, which is right there, yeah. that she gave to me, it's, like, becoming 3/4 sleeves and extra tight on Audrey, but she loves it. Aww. And so she needs another.
You maybe have to pass it on to like another pearly girl.
I know.
Like maybe to Molly. Yeah.
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 I have to wash it very thoroughly yeah. first. She loves it. She wears it all the time. She loves it. Has different colored buttons with the polka dots and everything.
It's a very cute little sweater.
Yeah. She loves that thing. So she'll get a new cardigan soon. It's going to be probably my next cast on.
Oops.
And I am about halfway done with Love and Happiness by Amy Christophers. Mm-hmm. It's a cowl pattern and X and O cable patterns with some seed stitch. And I was using that Bleeding Armadillo Groom Cake color mm-hmm. from the Plucky Knitter,
right.
Primo Worsted. And I'm in my second skein. What I would suggest, and that's a pay download, I didn't write down how much it was. I would highly suggest if you want to knit it, that if you don't already know how to learn how to cable without a cable needle, because every right side row has cable crosses. It's a little bit slow, but it's really pretty. But it's all, you know, 2/2
mm-hmm.
cables going in different directions on every right side row.
Sorry, I'm like trying to fix a mistake in my knitting. Uh-oh. And it's gotten all tight here. I don't know why. Well, that's good.
So
yeah.
Those are all my whips. Do you want to do your whips?
Yes, I do. Okay, I'll fix this later.
All right. Besides the hat that's giving you grief.
Wrestling with his hat. So it's just like hats, more in hats. I jotted down many of the highlights. So I have knit Northumberland, which is yet another hat from Katya Frankel's Head to Toe Kids Knit Accessories. So I'm doing a good job working through that. That's the...
I guess.
It's just a plain stockinette cap that has a tiny little color work band on it.
Oh, yeah. That's like super cute.
It's like a solid line that goes around the hat with a wavy line that cuts through it. I showed it to someone at work, I think, and she said, it looks like a heartbeat. And it does. And so I used two leftovers of Lively Decay. So the body is in
Pacific.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And the little wavy line is in Jam Session. Like I had the teeniest ball left from, cause I think I literally used 3 grams of the red
mm-hmm.
on the hat. There are different sizes. I chose this one. And then for the other contrast color, I cheated slightly and I used a little bit of Miss Babb's Yummy Sport that I had left over from my Audrey and Unst. And again, I had like another little like 6 gram ball of it that I used for the contrast color. So I'm using like micro bits of yarn, but that came out really cute. If I had been thinking a little clearer though, I would have trapped the yarn more frequently. I was kind of using my usual rule of thumb of like every, you know, making sure that it's trapped at least once every 7 stitches.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wasn't thinking like this is for a kid. So the floats are maybe a little longer than I think is sensible to have on the inside of a kid's hat. But there aren't that many of them. You know, it's not that much. There's just a tiny bit of color work. I took a minor break from hats because Cecily Glaug McDonald released a new cowl pattern called the Landscape Cowl.
Oh, yeah.
That she knit in Silk Garden Sock, and I was looking at it and thinking, and it's just a little feather and fan with garter, very, you know, one of the many variations of that, really cute. And I was looking and I thought, oh, wonder if I could do it in like scraps. And I was looking at my bag of DK weight scraps, and I was like, I'm gonna make a magic ball. So I just grabbed all my scraps and wound them all together, and when I'd get to the end of one, I'd tie a knot and just keep winding it on. And then as I was knitting, though, I started having some sections where I felt like the color went on for a little too long, so I would break it and tie it onto a new section and just mixed up the colors a little bit that way. So mine's a little funky looking, but it's cute, and most of the yarn that I was using, there's a lot of random stuff in there. but there's a lot of felted tweed scraps in there. So it makes it kind of warm but light.
Yeah.
Which I really like. I also knit two hats out of the Interweave accessories from 2011. One is the Gothic Tam by Romy Hill. And I used the leftover...
I was going to ask, have you knit either of them before?
I have not. No. So the one for Romy, so there's Romy Hill's Gothic Tam. It's a top-down lace tam. And the yarn I used for it was the yarn I had left over from the Fairy Snow Cap, which is the one that I did knit the giant pom-pom for the last time, or one of the last times. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, was feeling all smug, like, no, I'm going to have exactly the right amount of yarn. And of course, I ran out of yarn right as I got to the end, but I pulled something out of my stash that, some mystery ball of yarn that I got from someone else that is fairly close. I mean, you can see looking at it that it's, but it's just the last couple rows, so... Mm-hmm. I think it's just fine. And the other one I knit was The Row, which is by Carrie Cruz. And I used a skein of Mrs. Crosby's steamer trunk that I got at Sample It at T&A in the color Midnight Aubergine. And then it has, so it's like a unisex, really slouchy hat that has just a teeny little, like mock cable thing that runs up in a little band. The length of it and then you cast on using a contrasting color. So I used a tiny bit of Tosh Vintage in Turn for like gray and then this aubergine color, and that came out really nice. The steamer trunk, having knit with it, I feel like my original assessment of it still stands, that it is intensely dense yarn. Mm-hmm. It is 164 yards for 100 grams, and it knits up to 4.5 stitches to the inch. So it is really dense, and it just feels dense. I mean, it's just heavy, and which isn't a bad thing. I would definitely not knit a sweater out of it if it had much texture. I think it would just be really heavy. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, those really, really densely spun yarns aren't as warm because they don't hold much air. But it shows texture really nicely, which is, you know, I mean, you get great stitch definition from it. It might
be good for smaller accessories.
Yeah. So it was interesting to work with it, but it was really like, I mean, we were kind of passing around and knitting, and everyone's like, whoa, feeling this hat. It's like
hefty.
Because it feels really, it's just really weighty. One of the other ones I knit with some leftover ultra alpaca that Sharon had given me is a hat that it just amuses me. It's called the One Row Hat, which is a hat to accompany the One Row Handspun Scarf by Stephanie Pearl McPhee. Except, and a raveler came up with it. But in order to knit the One Row Hat pattern in the round, it's actually a two round pattern, which I just think is funny that it's called the One Row Hat.
Ta-da.
But it's two rounds. it's just a little, like, seeded rib.
Yeah.
That's a cute one. I also was going through old knitwear from spring of 2013. It was because someone had it at the Knitters Guild. This chevron striped hat that Kate Gagnon Osborne had designed for Tundra. And then, again, I'm like, I will use scraps to knit this. So I had half a skein of 128 superwash in black and then a whole bunch of bulky scraps. So I veered off from the pattern quite a bit because I knit my stripes based on how much yarn I had, not based on the stripe pattern and the pattern.
Because you'd run out for the stripes.
Yeah. So I'd have like 2-row stripes, 4-row stripes. So mine's a little funky, but it's cute and it's got like a whole bunch of stuff in there. It's got little bits of hand spun and Silk Garden Chunky and different things in there. And then I also knit another chevron hat, but this is the Chevron Elf Baby Hat, which is a free pattern on Ravelry that is a really long, pointy elf hat for a baby that has a contrast cast on and then a little chevron colorwork stripe in it.
So cute.
A couple rows of that. And so, keeping in mind what I had thought about with Northumberland, I made a point of trapping every 3 stitches so there are no long floats inside the hat. And that came out cute. And I was just using, again, little bits of leftover 220 that I had from other hats I've knit last month. And then I knit, I guess you'd call it Luke, L-U-U-K, by Annis Jones, which is a really popular pattern on Ravelry. It's a freebie, and it's just a little beanie that has rounds or stripes of stockinette and reverse stockinette.
Cool.
The pattern picture, I think, shows it in like a crayon or something that stripes like that. And I did it in handspun from just some random handspun that I plied. Well, I was like plying one night, and then I was like, what is this stuff? And I just grabbed a whole bunch of odds and ends that were lying around and plied it all together and made sort of a bulky-ish yarn. So I knit like a little tiny baby size in it, and which I gave away to a friend's daughter for her to use for a doll, because I figured it would fit a baby for about 10 minutes, and yeah, dolls don't grow much, so it would work well for that. And then what I'm knitting right now, since I pulled out the hand spun, is another hand spun yarn that was just from samples I got at a retreat or something. I don't know. I went on a little jag a few months ago spinning a lot of little sample, trying to use up bits. This is like the theme of my life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're trying to use up all those little bits. I'm trying to justify saving all this crap all the time. Mm-hmm. And I am, and so this is like greens with a little bit of blue and yellow in it. I didn't pick it though. It was given to me as a sample. So
it's very soft though.
It's nice, yeah. I think it's mostly merino. And the hat I'm making is called Slice of Life by Mary Keenan. And she has a number of free patterns on Ravelry. A lot of them can double as chemo caps. And I knit one of hers a few years ago when I was on another hat making jag, also in handspun, that was called the Bob Cap. That was like a really plain beanie that just had a few rows where you did a little tuck stitch where you reach down. So you just made a few little tucks, sort of. It was a cute little pattern.
I remember that one.
But she's got a whole bunch of patterns on Ravelry. I think they're all available for free.
That's awesome.
And a lot of them, to my eye, kind of lend themselves nicely to handspun because they're simple with just a few little details. This one, I didn't even say what it is. It's kind of a tamish fit on it, and it is just little sections of stockinette that are separated by a little column of seed stitch.
Cute.
So, you know, it's mostly stockinette though, so which works well for the handspun because the handspun's busy enough. And that's everything I'm working on right now. Phew. Okay.
So when you decide daily, I guess now, how you're gonna do? You look in your library, in your pattern library, or do you just kind of like go search and see what you
wanna do? A little bit. Well, I have searches set up since we talked about this a while ago about how you can save searches.
Yeah.
So I have a few searches. Just always that I save that, like with sort of scrappy things in mind. So I have one that's like I call it like 100 yards worsted search. And it's, you know, I gave it a range from like 75 to like 110 yards of worsted weight yarn. And I did the same with DK and with fingering in quantities that I tend to have. And then I have it search my library. I usually have like library and free checked off as the standard ones. And then I usually look at my library first, and then I'll look among the free patterns to see if there are any that are in my favorites. And those, you know, that. But then I'm like, ooh, shiny. I get distracted and I see something else completely different that I use. So most of these that I've been doing are ones that I that were either free on Ravelry or ones that I already had. But it was nice, though, to find stuff that, you know, like these...
the magazines.
Yeah, the Interweave accessories from 2011 I had never knit anything out of. And now I'm like, why didn't I knit out of this? It's full of mitts and hats and socks and all the stuff that I'm into knitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy. It was nice to be able to just search that on Ravelry. And then
I was just wondering if you like just searched every day for
I do kind of like I try different searches and stuff will pop up. I mean, you know, the same things always end up at the top of searches just because these are like the really popular ones, like the Lucat. It's always at the top because it's a cute free pattern and there's like thousands of projects on Ravelry. So part of the fun for me is finding some things, you know, that only like 12 people have knit, and like, oh, this is a cute pattern. But some of them, like, there was one, I'm not going to name names, one that I saw that I was like, this is really cute, and nobody's knit it. And then I looked at the pattern, and I'm like, okay, I know why. It's color work, there's no chart, it's knitted flat. You know, it's like, I'm not going to knit this pattern. So, you know, sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes they're just... There's so, you know, there's so much, and every day there's so much more added to Ravelry.
Yeah,
that's
true.
It is so easy for things to get lost. So I do try coming at things in different, searching for things in different ways. But the place that I do try to look first is, like, look in my own library, look in my favorites. Because a lot of times I'll favorite something and immediately forget it. Like, something about clicking that little favorite button just then, like, takes it out of my brain, and now I've stored it over here, and then, you know, I'll go back and I'll look at my favorites, and it's like this out of body experience, like, who favorited that? That's really cute. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Yeah, so I just try to go different things, but I do spend a lot of time searching, because there's, you know, you'll have an idea, like, I'm gonna knit this hat next, but then you find yarn and you're like, no, I'm gonna knit this yarn next, but this yarn isn't good for that pattern, so then you, like, have to find something else. So
okay.
It's a bit of a game. I'm trying not to spend, like, all my time hunting for patterns and actually spending time knitting things. Yeah. But it's a bit, you know, it's fun, and it is really hard to, I mean, my heart goes out to all the independent designers out there, because it's a jungle out there. I mean, there's so much stuff on Ravelry now, and everyone's doing, like, people are all trying to, sorry if this seems like I'm calling anybody out, but I do feel like designers now have gotten into this game of trying to force their patterns to come up on the hot right now list. And one of the games is by offering things for free for a limited time.
Oh, yeah.
Or doing some kind of promotional thing. Because sometimes, and again, I'm not going to name names because this is kind of mean of me, but, you know, I'll look at the hot right now page just as a starter, like going onto the pattern page. And I'm like, you know, there'll be a whole bunch of patterns by someone I've never heard of that are all fairly blah, like nothing really in particular to recommend them. I'm like, why are these? And then, you know, once you see like the fifth, the sixth one, you're like, well, this person is obviously running some kind of promotion. And mm-hmm. then, you know, if you dig around a little bit, then you'll find out, oh yeah, they've got a, you know, free for today or free for whatever. And, you know, for some designers, I feel like that works and then translates into future sales. I think Tin Can Knits is an excellent yes. example. They put out the Simple Collection, which they offered for free.
They did that thing, it wasn't this year, but the year before, where you got one pattern free or something.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever heard of them. Yeah. But so then...
Because I got a hat that I haven't knit, but I
want to. You know, but we've both done a lot of stuff from the Simple Collection, which yeah. is a great little... I mean, to me, it was more even than just the patterns. It was very beginner-oriented. It was had a lot of good instruction in it. It was very well thought out. It was very well put together.
Yeah.
And it kind of was a good introduction to them as designers, where you're like, okay, these people know what they're doing. Now I feel comfortable plunking my money down.
Yeah.
Because I do have, I mean, especially working in a yarn shop, I frequently have the luxury of being able to look at a pattern before I make the choice to buy it, because you don't want those little surprises like discovering the color work isn't charted or that the color work is knit flat, which, I mean, ideally you could sleuth a little bit on Ravelry and figure yeah. that out, but I guess I'm just really circumspect and I don't want to, like, Cecily's pattern came out and I'm like, click, bought it, like, just didn't even think about it, because I trust Cecily to write a good yeah. pattern, and I like her, I know I like her style.
I feel that way about Amy Christopher's.
Right, yeah, yeah. absolutely. Or,
her book, I was like, oh, she has a book, I'll buy that.
yeah.
like, didn't really need to look at it.
And there's...
Which is beautiful and I yes. love it.
But there's also, or we were talking about mystery knit-alongs last night at knitting, and I generally don't do mystery knit-alongs, but, like, I did Isolde's mystery knit-along because I know...
You did that gingerbread man once.
Yes. my gray gingerbread man. Mm. But, you know, because I know I like her style, and she rarely comes up with a pattern that's, like, out of left field,
mm-hmm.
unlike Stephen West, who the first time... Like, you know, he did it, like, where I think it was like his second or his third mystery knit along, where he did something like really wacky that kind of caught people off guard.
Intarsia thing?
Well, was it the one that had like the ladders down the center? You know,
That was last year.
Okay. Yeah. But it was, you know, a little. I mean, you can, now that you like look at all of his work, you can see how it fits in there. But at the time, I think it wasn't. It
seemed like a one-off thing.
Yeah, it wasn't like consistent with his previous style.
Well, I mean, if you look at like Boneyard, you would never,
right,
say that the new stuff belongs to the same designer. Right.
Exactly.
Even though you could knit that in whatever crazy color combinations he wanted,
but you know, because
that was the first thing I saw of his.
You want things. Or for me, at least. I mean, I think some people don't care that much. They just think it's fun. And, you know, or like Lauren Elkin does tons and tons of mysteries. But her style is really consistent. Yes. It's not, you know, it's not always the same thing. But you kind of have a, you know, you put all her pieces together. They look like they're all from the same person. There's mm-hmm. nothing that really jumps out at like, oh, where did that come from? And I think for me, as a, like, circumspect, cautious person, like, that's what I look for. And so I kind of feel that way with the patterns. Like, I'll grab free patterns off of Ravelry, and most of the time I'll grab them, I'll read them, and I'll go, nope, there's like aspects of them that I didn't like, and I'm glad it wasn't something I'd paid for, so wouldn't want to knit it. Or, you know, or I'll just use ideas from it and then do something completely different. Excuse me, I'm all froggy tonight. But, yeah, so I did end up using a lot of free stuff I found on Ravelry and a lot of stuff I had in my library, which was
cool. Nice
to finally dig out old magazines and things.
I guess I could talk about what I finished.
Oh, right, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I ask you questions. Tangent. It's fine. That was a good discussion.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for, yeah.
After 5 months... I finished my Twisted Flower Socks. I saw that
this weekend. Excitement.
I was so excited.
Do a little victory lap around the apartment in your socks. Yay!
Yeah, and then I got that stupid I'm So Fancy Iggy Azalea song stuck in my head.
I only know of Iggy Azalea. Okay. I don't know what anything of hers sounds like, so.
Yeah, okay. But so
you're fancy, yeah.
I'm so fancy. You already know. And I talked about them multiple times already, but they are from Knit Sock Love. It used to be a single pattern, but then I looked at her web store, and I didn't see it as a single pattern anymore. Oh, so I don't know what's up with that. Maybe they're on Ravelry still as a single pay, like, download thing. But they are all twisted stitches, heavily charted. I believe they are 4 charts. They come in 1 size. Because that would just be insane to do that multiple sizes. Yes. And I used Hazelnut's Artisan Sock in the Heartthrob color, which is a bright reddish pink.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not been put in shoes yet because...
they're too pretty to put in
shoes.
They're
so fancy. but I have worn them. I wore them around the house on like a day I was planning on mostly staying home. So... I'm just so happy to have them done. Yeah. Like, 5 months is a long time for me to have anything on the needles.
Yes,
especially a pair of socks. That was just ridiculous. And then I was sick, not this last week, the week before. I was home for 2.5 days and I knit a pair of socks.
I saw that.
Yeah.
You
I was impressed with myself. I was like, because I came home early from work on Tuesday and just crashed and slept until I had to go pick Audrey up from school. Then I was out sick Wednesday and Thursday, and I finished them. I started them Wednesday morning, and I finished them Friday.
Very nice.
So I used Mountain Colors Barefoot in the teal glacier color. So I used a larger needle also than I usually use.
I was going to say, because Barefoot's a little bigger than
yeah, the tag says a 3 or a 4. I used a 2 because it's for socks, and I didn't want like an open fabric. So I'm sure that contributed to the fastness, but I was like, holy crap, I can't believe I did a pair of socks. And like, although I did that at the retreat that one year.
Yeah.
I was impressed. And they're just plain vanilla socks I just made up. I just like was like, I'm going to cast on this many stitches, and I'm just going to knit for a while. So
that's good.
And I hadn't used that yarn before. I like it.
Yeah,
the that's mohair in it.
The one that I did a whole bunch of scarves out of the Millens.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. It does get, I find the socks that I knit with it get really, really fluffy.
Because of the mohair.
Really fluffy and fuzzy. So I kind of end up like pulling out big wads of fuzz out of the inside of them, like after I wash them and before I wear them. But they're really warm.
I think
and cozy.
I have another skein in my stash. So.
Okay.
Be knitting another pair of 3-day socks. Probably not, because hopefully
days.
I won't be sick.
Yeah. I came home early from work on Thursday because I wasn't feeling well. I had a really bad headache, and I was saying today that I knew I really wasn't feeling well, that I came home and I watched TV and I did not knit.
Yeah.
So that's always a sign that I'm really not feeling well, and I'm just lying here not knitting.
On Tuesday when I got home, just the sleep for multiple hours, and then go get Audrey, come home, and be like, here's a cartoon, because we don't really let her watch TV, so.
Yeah.
So I could just lay around. Anyway, I knit those, and then I knit my second custom fit sweater, because I actually just cast off the elephant one, because that button band loop is done. That's number 3.
Yay!
So number 2 is with the Quinn's & Company Owl Tweet yarn that I talked about last time. And I'm calling it Not With A Seam because it's a reference to Twin Peaks, because I got on my Twin Peaks road trip. and I felt super virtuous because I had buttons the exact correct color and size in my button stash, and I used them.
Oh,
and
cool.
I was like, boom! Done.
That never works for me. Everything every
time I felt extra virtuous.
Yeah, every time I've ever purchased buttons thinking, I will use these for a blah-bitty blah, like, I still have all those buttons. Like, everything that... where I think they'll work, I don't have the right number. Or just
I do that for
Audrey like
that. Stuff, mainly because I'm, like, anything sparkly, pink, or purple.
Yeah.
I know I can put on a sweater for her. Yeah. Until she goes through her goth phase, and then she'll want, like, dark purple, black, you know.
Oh, mother.
But last time we talked about yardage requirements for that.
Yes. How did yours work out?
I had a tiny little partial ball left, like super tiny, and 2 full skeins.
So
I used 8.
And they're
120 yards each.
What did it say you thought you should use?
980, and so it was just under that.
Oh, okay, so it was close.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, maybe I'm just... I think part of it is, like, just trying to get my head around... like, I know, like, roughly what I expect yardage to be for me.
I was still surprised, though.
Yeah.
Because that seems pretty low.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a cardigan with 3/4 sleeves and a lower crew neck. It's kind of in between a low crew and a scoop neck. And it's just plain stockinette with garter edging. That's it. So, I mean, I know that shouldn't take that much.
Yeah.
Still, I was surprised. Like, oh.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. Because I mean, the custom fit sweaters I've knit for myself, the yardage has been really good. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the, you know, the variety, when you're finally knitting things that actually to fit people. That the yardage is so much less than if you're just, like, going, well, I'm a 42-inch bust, so I'm going to knit this size. But there have just been a few that have come up where we're like, it says this, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I was surprised. The sweater is done. I haven't worn it yet.
Cool.
Because I just wore my Pretty Me cardigan for the first time yesterday. Anyway, that's what I finished. And I was going to talk about the ribbon button band thing I talked about last time.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I did that. It takes a long time because it's extra steps. So if you do a ribbon reinforced button band, like if you just do it the normal way, like you just like hand sew that down on the back, right? So this I went to Lady Bird's blog, followed all the steps, and she has you reinforce with iron-on interfacing on the back of the ribbon for the button band, the actual buttonhole side, to put iron-on interfacing on there just to help the buttonhole stay because you're using ribbon. And you don't want to use satin ribbon. You want to use, like, a grosgrain because it's... otherwise your buttonholes are just going to fall apart.
Yeah.
So you do the interfacing, and then you mark from the knit side onto, you want to pin the ribbon down, and then mark with some kind of, I think a water-soluble marker that mm-hmm. I had in my sewing basket. You mark through the, from the knit side, through the buttonhole onto the ribbon, and then you measure your buttons, and you mark your buttonholes. Mm-hmm. And I have a buttonhole attachment, so just use that. And then you cut them up, you make the buttonholes and you cut them open, and then you have to sew everything down. Okay. So it's extra steps in there. And then you do the other side. But my Pretty Me cardigan has a bit of negative ease in it, and I wanted it that way, but no gaping at all.
Okay.
Yeah. That's and good. It's holding in a bit there. So I was that's kind of boobalicious. And it doesn't gape at all. So I, now that I've done it, I can recommend that method.
Excellent.
Even if it takes a little long. I think it took like maybe twice as long as it normally would, because I had to like read all the steps and mm-hmm. like do each step, and I kept coming back over to my computer to like
make sure it's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know, once you get the buttonholes and the ribbon, it's just the normal steps.
Yeah.
As long as you've, you know, marked your buttonholes correctly.
Yeah, that's kind of the big, the crucial step there.
Yeah. And then if you have, like, a button, if your buttons aren't lined up evenly on your front, you would probably want to mark which is the top and which is the bottom on the ribbon.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case. I know that on some sweaters, like, the top two buttons will be closer together. Yeah. And then they'll be evenly spaced from there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be obvious. But if you have one buttonhole that's, like, they look like they're the same, but they're maybe, like, half an inch off or a quarter of an inch off, you'll just want to mark on the button, like, on the ribbon, the top, like a T for the top. Mm-hmm. So you can sew it on correctly and not upside down, and then try and button it and have it not be correct after you've hand sewn and dig down. That didn't happen to me. I was just thinking like that is a definite possibility. It's like,
boy, I'm glad I didn't do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a great tutorial, and I linked to it in the episode thread in the our Ravelry forum. Mm-hmm. If you want to look at that, or you could just go to ladybird.com and search like ribbon tutorial, I think is what I used.
So. And it's Ladybird with two L's.
Yes. Yep.
All right.
Books.
Books. I am actually reading a book, which I'm slightly proud of, but then when you hear what I'm reading, I'm slightly embarrassed. I'm reading Outlander, because it's just...
I've read all those.
It's out there. It's all of them?
Yeah. Well, I haven't read the most recent, like, two.
Oh, okay. Because
how many are there?
Someone just said to me there are eight of them. Eight.
So I've read six of them.
I thought there were, like, three. I'm like, oh, man. So...
I started reading them when I was in community college right out of high school.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I know I've told you this before, that the book Outlander was, like, my first and only attempt at audiobooks, where I started listening to it on a plane ride and fell asleep for 4 hours, and I woke up and I was like, someone was speaking in like soothing Scottish brogue in my ear, and I had no idea where I was in the book, like where I'd fallen asleep. So I had no idea what was going on, and I tried to find my spot, but I couldn't figure it out, so I gave up on it. Also, I believe as an audiobook it was something in the magnitude of like 72 hours of audio, because it's like a 700 page book.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the TV show came out, I watched the I don't have cable, but you could watch the pilot on the Starz website.
Mm-hmm.
So which did correlate to the part of the book that I had experienced before falling asleep.
That's nice. They broke that up.
So
for you,
yeah, because like I'm a little weird. Like, I don't like watching stuff if I haven't read the book yet. I like keeping the book experience a little uninfluenced. So I watched it, and I actually thought they did a decent job on the pilot. And then there's just, you know, everyone's talking about it, and people are knitting stuff based on it, mm-hmm. and there's all this hoopla around it. So I thought, maybe that's what I'll... So then I tried to put it on hold at the library, and there were, like, hundreds and hundreds of holds.
Which is hilarious, because you could go to a used bookstore and get it, like, last year for, like, $1 yeah. $2 or something.
Well, I just bought the Kindle edition because it was like, I think it was $5, and I'm like, $5 yeah. is worth it to just have it. Plus, the nice thing with having the Kindle edition is that if I'm on my computer, I can read it, and I can read it on my iPad, and I can read it on my phone, and it's all, it all.
So don't have a time constraint because they are fairly lengthy books.
Yeah. I'm like 200 pages into it, which for me is usually past my petering out point on books. Like if I don't make it past page 50, I probably will never finish it. But if I, you know, like I'm there, I'm in it now, I'm reading it, stuff's happening. It's, you know, like medium trashy, not super, yeah. like actually the beginning of the first book is actually not really that trashy at all. Which, yeah, so...
It has its yeah. quite trashy moments.
But yeah.
The whole series does.
Yeah, that's what I... But, you know, it's got that nice kind of sheen of, like, history over it. And also, it's interesting. I mean, Wes was talking about an article he had read about how the TV show... you know, you've got a book that's written by a woman, and the TV show has been... At least the pilot episode was directed by a woman, and that it's very... much, even though it's like kind of trashy and there's a lot of sex, but it's very like female perspective, which is something that you don't get a lot. And so I'd seen a lot of things like maybe on Jezebel where they were sort of talking about like, is Outlander like Game of Thrones for women? Because I think, you know, that's sort of one of my issues with a lot of things that, you know, like I'm not a prude and I don't object to sex. I just like Game of Thrones in particular is always stuck in my craw that the way sex is depicted in that is so, like, just distasteful to me, like, because it's always, like, rape or incest or it's all rape, incest, or prostitution, essentially, at least in the season I watched. And, you know, as a woman, it's like, there's nothing sexy about that to me. And I don't want, and that's not the way I want it portrayed for me. So with Outlander, it's definitely coming at it from the female's point of view, which I find is a lot. I think that's a strong
point of the book. Yeah. The book series, actually.
And that she's smart.
She's very smart. She's,
like, intelligent. She's not playing... She doesn't play the... You know, she has agency. She's not a victim. And I like that, you know. I mean, she's just, you know, stuck in a bad situation and trying to think her way through it and using her... Yeah, using her wits to kind of figure her, you know... And to make herself useful, and yeah, so it's just not, it's not like the, you know, a bodice ripper of like, oh, dear me, if save only a man me. Will come and save me.
Yeah.
You know, she's really got a lot going on for her. So, yeah, so it does make me feel too gross to read it, but I'm sure
I
like they
them
get,
a lot. I haven't read them in a long time. My sister, I think when my sister came to visit, she was reading that too, yeah. because her friends wanted to watch the series or something. She's like, oh, I'm gonna read it. Blah, 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 you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you reading?
I finished reading The Fall by Guillermo del Toro and Chuck Hogan, which is the second book in the... I'm not sure what the series is called. But The Strain, The Vampire, whatever, which is also a TV show. I haven't seen it because I don't have cable.
Right.
And I last time I talked about how I was about halfway through and it was not, there was not a whole ton of stuff happening because it's all in the last half of the book. So the first half of the book was really, really slow for me. And then the second half went like lickety split pretty much. And I'm excited to read the third one, although it was late to the library. So now I have all these fees because the first half took so stinking long for me to read. But no, I'm excited to see what happens in the third book, which is the final book in the series. So
I never feel too bad about having to pay a library fine also because I figure like I get so much out of the library that if I have to give them like $1.20 or something because I kept it something too long, like they
can
have
it. I just wait until I have like $10.
I do too.
And then just pay
it all at once. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, Audrey has late books and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever. To me, it doesn't seem worth. It doesn't seem worth it to pay $1, yeah, exactly. But $10. It's finally to the point where I should pay it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, the books are good. They are gross and they're fairly graphic with how gory they are.
I will not be reading them. Or watching the TV show.
Yes. But that is kind of Guillermo del Toro's style. I have not read anything else, anything by Chuck Hogan, so I don't know what his writing styles, like, except for in combination with Guillermo del Toro. Mm-hmm. So I'm also reading Anne's House of Dreams, which I think last summer, not this last summer, the summer before maybe, I had started reading the Anne of Green Gables series mm-hmm. again. And I always get stuck in the same spot in the series because it's 7 books. And I always get stuck on the fourth book because it's Anne of Windy Poplars. So she and Gilbert are engaged, but she's teaching in another town. And most of the book is in an epistolary form. And I do not like that style.
Oh, I love that.
I don't know. There's something about it with her, that particular, the Anne of Green Gables series that I don't care for. Mm-hmm. And I have read other books where I like it okay, but I always get bogged down in the fourth book. Mm-hmm. I finally finished it because I had finished reading the fall and I wanted to read something before bed. And that was laying there. I'm like, I guess I'll pick this up. But now I'm on the fifth book and I'm about 2/3 of the way through it.
Cool.
And then the last two are mainly about her kids. All the billions of kids she has. Not billions. She has 7, which is a lot to me.
That's a lot, yes.
But maybe not to Victorians.
Yeah.
You know. They had to raise more because of the higher infant mortality yes. rate. So. And still plugging away at Interview with Vampire. Right. It's on my iPad, which I don't really care for reading on. Before bed, I try not to look at lots of screens of any sort because of the light. Mm-hmm. I don't have a Kindle, so any kind of electronic light type thing does not help me fall asleep. Yeah. So,
well, for me now, I've reached that point where it's nice having it on the iPad because where I end up having trouble with my eyes is when when my eyes are tired and when it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to wear reading glasses now sometimes if I'm reading in bed. So I kind of like having it on the iPad where it's, like, bright. And if I can't read it, I can make it bigger.
I totally make it bigger and brighter. I just try not to look at screens before bed.
Yeah.
I know lots of people get on their phones and do stuff on their phones before bed.
Yeah.
I think there are, like, maybe scientific studies that show that bright lights reboot your brain. That's not what I want to do at bedtime. Exactly. I have sleep issues anyways, so. Yeah.
So I've basically just been watching. I made it through all 5 old seasons of Good Wife, which was 80-something hours. And so now I'm up to date, and I've even watched everything that's been on TV so far this season of season 6.
I think. Good for you.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like an accomplishment. But I have to say, it is... It's an interesting series in that I think it just keeps getting better, which I don't. We were talking about this at knitting last night. There's not a lot of TV shows.
Okay, yeah, is also that way.
Yeah, because a lot of TV shows, you're like, you know, great first season, then things kind of, you know, peter.
Slide.
Yeah. This one, I feel like it starts fairly standard issue. I think I talked about this last time about a woman who's the wife of a disgraced state's attorney who's gone to prison, so she goes back to work as an attorney. The guest star roster on the show is amazing, but they've gotten a little more adventurous in terms of the storytelling as they've gone on, because it started out, it's sort of a straight procedural, like there's a you know, a case every episode, but then there's sort of overarching drama going on with the different characters. But I feel like it's gotten a lot more interesting, even to the point of not necessarily going to the trouble of resolving the legal cases that you touch on during mm-hmm. episodes, because they've kind of gotten past that now, and it's a lot more about the characters. And anyway, it's just, it keeps getting more interesting. I really like it now. I'm totally into it. And then the other thing I started watching that I think I'm about halfway through is Transparent, which is one of the Amazon Prime original series mm-hmm. where they had people vote on the pilots last year, and now they've put this one into production. Huh. And it stars Jeffrey Tambor as a father of 3 who is in the process of coming out to his children as trans.
Oh.
And it ends up being a lot more about the kids and their weird lives and his or her journey, I suppose. It's weird because I'm at this point in the series where the character is only out to a few people, so it's like even the characters in the show are like don't know how
pronoun confused
to what pronoun to use or what name to use. So, but so far I really really like it. It's fun. It's like done in these little. It's like a half hour sitcom kind of thing, even though it's dealing with some pretty serious issues. And it's very sweet and it's very funny and it's really like Jeffrey Tambor is just really touching in this role.
That's Pop Pop, right?
Yeah. From Arrested Development. And I've never really seen, I mean, certainly not in a role like this. I mean,
he's been in tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah, actually, he's got a recurring role in The Good Wife, too. But I've never seen him do just something so sincere and. Hello.
The cat disagrees.
Cat disagrees. I'm sorry, Sam. Have you seen Jeffrey Tambor in something more?
He's staring Noah down.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Are you eating pie?
With whipped cream.
Yeah. She can sense it. She can't see or hear very well, but she senses it.
Anyway, but it's an interesting show. It's funny. I'm enjoying it. It's just a. It's not like any other sitcom I've ever watched, is for sure. So, and it's very R-rated, so not a family watching show. what are you watching?
We just caught up on The Walking Dead, everything that's released on Netflix. Oh. So not the current season that's playing right now that just started, but the last one.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good. I liked it better than the previous season.
I'm way behind. I petered out around season 2.
Noah was telling me that he was at the store and one of those entertainment rags had like the sexy men of The Walking Dead. Just like, I don't find any of them particularly sexy. No. Neither does the cat.
No. Oh, there's whipped cream for the kitty.
To be quiet now.
You can find it. There you go.
Oh, she's so excited. White whipped cream and black cat. Yay! But it was good, and I liked it a lot more than I liked the last two seasons.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's season 4.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of hard and interesting things that happen to the characters, and some of the newer people from last season had their backstories fleshed out a bit more. They're still zombies.
Yes.
Update.
Spoiler alert.
Child killing.
Oh, no spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
Gosh. He's disinvited from the podcast now.
And I watched, while I was sick, I watched American Horror Story Coven, which is last year's one. It is funny.
Is it?
It's funny.
But still really.
It has, okay, American Horror Story always has that weird sex thing going on, and that happens, but not to the extent of the last,
this is season 3?
Season 3.
Oh, okay. Oh, so this is the
one
from
last year. Yeah.
Okay, because so there's mental institution, there's
the house,
there's creepy house, mental institution, asylum. Witches,
and freak show is this one,
and which I'm totally not gonna watch.
Yeah. I would totally watch it. I like Lily Rabe. She's the young girl from the first season, and she's not. A guy at work told me she's not in the current season. They used the French actor, the young woman from Asylum, who I didn't care for as much. Uh-huh. But it's very humorous, and the woman who plays Myrtle Snow, who's the mom from 6 Feet Under with the red hair.
Oh, Frances O'Connor.
Yes.
I love her.
She's amazing, and I want to be her when I'm old. She has, like, this crazy, huge, red, crimped hair,
mm-hmm.
and these amazing outfits, and she's always talking about Ralph Lauren and, like, all these old, like, fashion icons and classic movie stars, and acting super crazy, and she plays the theremin. Oh, it's awesome. It is awesome.
All right.
It's funny. Stevie Nicks is in it. Is so it there's gross? A lot of Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, yeah.
There's some gross parts, but I don't... It's not as crazy, freaky, gross as Asylum. I didn't like Asylum.
I just would like to get away from it being so rapey, which doesn't...
No, I'm trying to think. Because I was sick while I watched it, because I kind of binge-watched it while I was sick. I don't think it's rapey at all.
Because the first two seasons are pretty rapey.
Yes. Well, The Asylum, definitely. Yeah. Well, and then there's like, oh, we were talking about the first season with the rubber costume, and apparently Target was selling that at some point as a Halloween costume.
No! As, yuck. You know,
American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Rubber guy. But it's
that's not right.
Not kid appropriate costume thing to have.
That's not right. I disapprove. All right.
And then I'm watching the newest, because I'm still fighting the cough whatever thing I had. We are watching the Parks and Rec, yay, whatever just got put on Netflix. And what's his face? Leslie Knope's husband?
Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Ben Wyatt.
Ben has this whole thing in, I think, the...
The Cones of Dunshire.
No, the first two episodes, it's like part one, part two. He talks about, what was it? Rewatching Twin Peaks and going online to read Laura Palmer's Secret Diary and trying to find Easter eggs that he hadn't found before or something. Which is hilarious.
Yes.
I love him.
I do love him.
And random crappy horror movies, like Big Ass Spider. Which is on Netflix, which is about a big-ass spider in L.A.
It's seriously called Big-Ass Spider?
Yes, it's called Big-Ass Spider.
All right, then.
I watched really bad stuff when
that's
I was
bad.
Sick.
Okay.
It was funny, though.
All right. Well, if it's called Big-Ass Spider, it better be funny.
Yeah. The
actually, it'd be funnier if it was called Big-Ass Spider and it was just, like, deadly serious.
it's a drama.
Really solemn, yeah. Because... Historical drama. Big-ass spider. I think that means we're wrapped up.
Yeah, we are.
We've now cracked ourselves up.
I know.
All right. Well, show notes will be at doubleknit.net, and our Ravelry group is Double Knit Podcast Fans.
You can find me, Erin, on Instagram as Erin Burnell.
I'm Rose Kim Knits.
And is your profile linked too on your About Me page?
Yeah.
So is mine. It was broken. Someone told me it was not working and I fixed it. So you can find it there as well.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.